Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I invite you always to our broadcast, which is on 950 AM, 100.3 FM at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on WROL. And also, you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. And more people are doing that, by the way. CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can download the show, you can listen to it, you can check out our blog, you can send us feedback, you can donate to support the show. It's all there at CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is Thursday, and on Thursdays, we listen to Sister Helena Burns.
Hey, folks, this is Sister Helena Burns from the Daughters of St. Paul in Jamaica Plain and Dedham, and we're continuing with our series on John Paul II's Theology of the Body, his masterwork, which is a Bible study of the human body from Genesis to Revelation. So we were talking last time a lot about what a sacrament is. And of course, first of all, we're talking about sacrament with a capital S, the seven sacraments of the Catholic and Orthodox churches. And what is a sacrament? The definition is a visible outward sign instituted by Jesus Christ while he was on earth to give us grace. And a sacrament does what it symbolizes. So if it's bread, it feeds us. If it's water, it washes sin away, etc., etc. If it's oil, it anoints us. There's a very shorthand way to say what a sacrament is, and that is an outward sign of inward grace. An outward sign of inward grace. I love that. And we were talking also about what little s sacrament can mean, what it means to have a sacramental worldview, to realize that a tree is more than a tree, to realize that this is God's earth, God's creation, God's universe, and he has put meaning into everything. Everything is special, everything has its own meaning, and we need to be able to read it, to understand what God is saying to us, especially what he's saying to us through our precious human bodies, our sacred human bodies, which are made in his image. The only thing in creation made in his image. I've heard a Theology of the Body speaker say that, Dr. Waldstein, who helped translate the newer version of Theology of the Body, he retranslated a lot of the sections from the original Polish, and he wrote the big introduction to it. And he said, everything else in creation is a trace of God. Isn't that? I love that. It's a trace of God. But we ourselves are these direct images. So a sacrament is what it is and something more. For example, the priesthood is one of the seven sacraments. So this particular priest is really a guy from Toledo, Ohio, let's say, and he really did play lacrosse in high school and college and then got himself ordained. But he's also sharing in the one high priesthood of Jesus Christ. So he is what he is and something more, pointing to something beyond himself. So we can never say that a sacrament is just a symbol. Oh, it's just a symbol, because it is pointing to something more. And at least in part, it is that thing in itself. So again, we cannot do away with God-given biblical symbols. They are the way to the reality. Biblical symbols reveal and make clear what can be hidden and unseen and hard to understand, the future and the deepest truths about things. If we try to mess with biblical symbols or mess even with the human body, we will obscure the reality and push ourselves further from the truth. So if Jesus called himself the bridegroom, there has to be a bride. Who is the bride? The church, us. And as we said, the symbol of marriage is huge throughout the Bible. It is the number one image of how God shows us that he loves us. So marriage is how we know God loves us. I was one time trying to tell some young people about this, and I was trying to explain that, you know, a human-made symbol isn't that important. We can change it out. We can mess with it. We can arbitrarily change it. And I said, so for example, who's the mascot of your school? And it was a bulldog. And oh my gosh, when I tried to say that we could change that bulldog to something else, wow, I learned a lesson that I was not trying to teach, but boy, did I learn that even human symbols, they have great meaning. You can't just mess with them. the very suggestion that we would change the bulldog got these kids all riled up, and they said, but everything means something, like his bottom tooth is pointing north. When we won that team, we beat that team in the north, and then there's all these studs on his collar that are showing us all the different tournaments we won, and this bulldog had deep meaning. So even human symbols can't be just changed arbitrarily, because they have a history. They have a meaning. It was chosen very carefully. All right? Now think about this. As human beings, we have many different ways of knowing and grasping truth, but the human brain doesn't know directly. The human brain only knows indirectly. I am not a scientist. I am not a brain surgeon. I am not a brain scientist, a neuroscientist. But to just say it for the rest of us, lay people's language, we know only indirectly through analogies. Our brain works with symbols. Everything is a kind of a symbol to the brain. Words themselves can be symbols that we use to communicate. Science itself uses a story or a narrative to explain the laws of nature, how something in nature works. So when quantum physics was discovered, many thought that the narrative of Newtonian physics, was suddenly untrue. But it wasn't. It was only that there was a deeper level at which the story of Newtonian physics did not work. It still worked on a larger scale, but we needed a new narrative to explain what was going on at the quantum level. We also learn the deepest human truths about life through stories. Myths, fables, fairy tales. Jesus himself used parables. So powerful, right? Stories are so powerful. The Bible is one big story made up of many books. It's a library of many little books and littler stories. But there's this overall story of God's love for us, God's relationship with us, and his purpose, plan, and power to save us. Who doesn't love a good story? A good film, whether it's a historical drama, science fiction, romance, action, or a suspense thriller, right? I don't know anybody who doesn't like a good story, even if they have their favorite kind of story. And we're writing our own story with God within this big story that we call salvation history. So we are a part of God's story. We write our smaller story along with God in the context of this larger story of salvation history. Now, why don't people seem to see a deeper meaning in things anymore today? Don't see mystery anymore today? Well, we kind of spoke about that last time about enchantment. It's called enchantment oftentimes. We don't seem to be enchanted as much with nature, etc. But I don't think we can always say that, because many scientists became scientists, even if they don't believe in God, because they were enchanted by the beauty and the order in nature. And that's what keeps them being scientists. We also live in a post-literate society, and we have these terrible ways now of approaching literature, where we just shred it to pieces and everything is wrong, everything is bad, you know, nothing's right. We take offense at everything in every story ever written, every piece of art or literature ever done, or painting or play or whatever. And it's all just being ripped to shreds and deconstructed. So we're not able to sort of quietly sit with the piece of art and come to a deeper meaning. We also live in very superficial times, consumeristic times, what Pope Francis called a throwaway culture. So it's hard to see something deeper in something we're just going to throw away. And no matter how much science works at things, there's going to be questions outside of its realm. Many unanswered questions like, what's it all for? What happens after death? And even though living in a mysterious world can be confusing and frustrating at times, there's a beauty to knowing that there's always something more, something deeper, something profound. And sometimes it's only poetry, music, and the arts that seem to be the only way to express the inexpressible, the ineffable, that deeper meaning. And the Bible itself contains what are actually poems and hymns. Sometimes we don't realize that. We know the Psalms are certainly poems and prayers, but there's other parts of the Bible that Actually, here's a clue. When the language gets really beautiful, you're probably finding yourself inside of a hymn. What's actually a hymn? And actually, John Paul II wrote his Theology of the Body in a form of Polish that is poetic. So Polish is a very profound and deep and rich language, and he chose to write the Theology of the Body in what is a poetic form of Polish. And we have to get comfortable, I suppose, living in a mysterious world. There's different meanings to the word mystery. When we can fully understand something, it's no longer a mystery. But when do we ever fully, totally, completely understand anything? There's always an element of mystery to most things. And what is more mysterious than us, human beings? Can you say that you completely understand yourself, all your motivations, why you do the things you do, why you don't do the things you don't do? Can you remember even a day in your life when you were 8 months old? We are mysterious. St. Paul said, I do not understand what I do, for I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I hate. Romans 7:15. And Jeremiah said, more torturous than all else is the human heart. Who can understand it? And I would like to quote some poets. William Blake said, if the door of perception were cleansed, everything would appear as it is, infinite. You know, if we just had those eyes to see. Gerard Manley Hopkins said, the world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And from 1 Corinthians, God is the God not of confusion but of peace. So God doesn't want us to be confused about everything. We can turn to Him for a deeper revelation. And God has told us everything we need to know for our eternal salvation. And certainly He wants us to understand more and more about how creation works and how beautiful and amazing He made everything. So if you'd like to get this masterwork, John Paul II's Theology of the Body, which is actually called Man and Woman, He Created Them, you can get it online at Pauline.org, like the girl's name, Pauline.org/TOB, T-O-B for Theology of the Body. And if you use the promo code TOB2020, you can get free shipping on orders of more than $30. And there's a lot more Theology of the Body books and resources at that URL, at that link, Pauline.org/TOB, books for teens, books for kids, books for anyone. And you can also stop in our beautiful bookstore in Dedham, Pauline or Pauline Books and Media on Route 1 in Dedham. We're open Monday through Saturday. Thank you so much, and God bless.